Hello, my friends. I said last week that this podcast was going to be late, and in fact, I say in this podcast that it was late, but we recorded pretty early. I got most of the editing done before my surgery, and thanks to everybody who sent me nice messages about it. It went really well. It was yesterday, and I'm getting the rest of the editing done today because I'm feeling better, so enjoy this podcast totally on time.
I once again have to ask who the audience is for this.
Yeah. Well, that's what Featherhead says at the end. He's like, if we advertise Archie the Musical, who's gonna come?
And, like, hate to say that that guy's right about something, yeah. But, like, if I went to high school with them, and they were like, it's a high school musical all about our senior year, I'd be like, oh, that's cool. And then it's not. It's Archie the Musical about their little friend group. I would be like, what is this, like, practice in vanity?
Hello and welcome to our Riverdale podcast, brought to you by the Aficionados Podcast Network. My name is Robin Jeffrey, I'm a 28-year-old actor and artist. I like rooting anti-heroes, feminist agendas, and I remember way too many details that no one else cares about. You can follow me personally at Robin E. Jeffrey pretty much everywhere, including most of the new Twitter options that aren't Twitter.
I'm so sick of this. Like, I need threads to stick.
We just need to pick one.
Here's the thing. Sorry, if you hear my chair squeaking, it's because I have a squeaky chair. I need either threads to stick or Elon to go bankrupt and have to sell Twitter to someone who is less evil than him.
I prefer that. I checked. I have over 65,000 tweets.
Like, I can't lose that crap.
I've been on Twitter for over 10 years. Like, yeah. I have over 900 followers. Please.
Bro, do you know when I started my Twitter?
Mm-hmm.
2009.
Yeah.
My Twitter is older than teenagers.
Yeah.
And that wasn't even my first Twitter.
Yeah.
It's just the Twitter that lasted the longest. My current Twitter used to be my alt.
I know that this is an insane thing to say, but my Twitter means very much to me. I feel like my Twitter is one of my prized possessions. Please don't take it away from me, please. Just because you suck, Elon.
Well, I think it's because, like, for so many of us, you know, obviously there's the online diary aspect, but it's also where a lot of our social circles were built.
Yes, exactly. Like, I have so many Dimension 20 mutuals that I don't have on Threads yet because I don't follow them on Instagram.
Yeah.
I only follow them on Twitter. So, like, how am I supposed to find them?
Because my Instagram...
I don't know.
My Instagram was mostly for real life.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my gosh, exactly. Yeah. I have all these people from my actual life following me on this, and I'm like, no, please, this is my Twitter!
I know. I was like, actually, hang on. None of you are allowed to follow me.
Exactly.
So yeah. You should go. Ugh. This mess is for everyone else's eyes only, just not yours.
Exactly. I have a different mask on Twitter than I do on Instagram, please.
Exactly.
Anyway, our fun fact for this episode is, I know that we always do What's Your Favorite Musical, but we decided we were going to do it so that it's like, but you only care about the music. Like, which musical has the most banging soundtrack? Not even care about what actually happens in the musical.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give it to Heathers with an honorable mention to Dear Evan Hansen. The music in Dear Evan Hansen is beautiful. The story of Dear Evan Hansen is questionable, and I feel like this is the perfect answer.
That is actually... You're right. That is the perfect answer.
Right?
I'm so proud of you.
Thanks.
Would you make that argument also for the last 5 years?
No, because the last 5 years almost doesn't have any dialogue, similar to Hamilton. Like, I'm pretty sure the last 5 years is, like, almost exclusively the song. So the songs is the story. Yeah.
Got it. All right, thank you.
But also, the last 5 years has great music as well.
Yeah. I just figured because, like, the story of it is sort of...
sad.
Yeah.
And also, it's very sad, yes.
The guy who wrote it was maybe a little DeLulu.
Uh-huh, oh, for sure.
Anyway, my name is Brittany Ray, and I am a 33-year-old artist and writer. I like badass moms and long naps. I'm on Twitter, at Britannia, where I can be found attempting to be interesting, and what am I doing this week? I guess just yelling about other platforms that aren't Twitter, and how tired I am of them. I got a Blue Sky because I have a very nice friend who gave me an invite, and I got on there, and I was like, no one's here.
Yeah, it was weird because, like, a lot of, like, not really celebrities, a lot of the people that I laud as celebrities aren't really, like, big celebrities in that way, but a lot of them were getting Blue Sky and posting their Blue Sky, and I was like, I need to get on there, I need! And now I'm like, but is there anyone there, though?
Yeah, really? I had the same experience because, like, a lot of Star Trek actors are really quick social media adopters, and they all went over there, and I was like, okay, well, I gotta be over there, and then I'm like, but you guys are all also still on Twitter.
Yeah.
This is Elon's plan.
Oh boy.
Anyway, and for my favorite musical that is like the musical without the story, this is really hard because I came up.
It was your idea.
I came up with this question, and then I was like, what do I do?
Uh-huh.
Because here's the thing. I know that Hamilton has become very cringe very quickly, but I do think...
Not to me. Never to me.
That's because you're also cringe, but I mean that with much affection.
No, that's okay.
But I think my answer is Hamilton, because, like, even if you take the story out of it, the actual, like, lyricism vibe. And the music and the fact that it was so groundbreaking in that it was what amounts to rap on Broadway is kind of crazy to me. And the fact that, like, that became such, like, a universally beloved thing so quickly, I'm pretty sure that's my answer. But, like, if someone asked me my favorite musical, I would in no way answer Hamilton.
Right.
Yeah. Today we have words to say about episode 714 of Riverdale, Archie the Musical.
To be honest, could just be called High School Musical 3. Honestly,
that's fair.
Yeah. Also, our step-by-step notes for this season were written by Sheila Daly, aka Blanche, and a huge extra thank you for her getting them done so fast this week, because I needed to record super early so that I could go and get my surgery done tomorrow. And thank you to everybody listening for allowing me to put this up a little bit late. How late it got up, I don't know, but thanks anyway. I appreciate you.
At this point, do we deserve Blanche? I feel like no.
No.
Yeah.
No, absolutely not.
I'm gonna go ahead and say no.
Okay, great. And then the title is basically just the classic blank the musical format. Not really much else to comment upon.
Nothing to write home about.
Yeah. We're covering this episode chronologically. I don't see us being able to do it in any other way.
I completely agree.
Would you want to do the first half or the second half?
I'm gonna do the second half because that's where the Veronica stuff is.
Great. Okay, so... toot or boot, Benny.
I'm gonna give it a toot. Another toot.
Yeah. I almost want to give it a shoot. I had the best time. I rewatched it today and I was like, this is amazing.
I see that. I see the argument for that. I'm not going to, but I understand.
Yeah, I was also so impressed because, like, I went on Serialized last night after I had watched it, and, like, all of the reviews were like, this was amazing. This was incredible. And, like, maybe that's because it's the people who are literally watching live who actually, like, care enough.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I'm just very impressed. I would say that this is probably number two on my Riverdale musicals list now. Nothing beats Carrie for me, but this is number two.
That's a really good choice for number one, though.
Yeah. All right, so we open with an ensemble song called Monday Senior Year. We see the gang all getting ready for their first day of senior year. Veronica is the new girl in this montage. Also, Hot Dog is in the Jughead clip, and Jughead sings to him, and it's the cutest thing that we've ever seen. I had a lot to say about this.
Why?
I feel like Blanche had such an easy job this week, which is great because she deserves nice things. Because it's like, then they sing a song about this. But, like, what I want to talk about is, like, all of the little Easter eggs they put in the visuals, you know?
And you should.
Yeah. So my first thing that I had to say was that Archie rhymes Sunday with Funday. And I was like, dude.
That's my boy. That's my...
All right, dude.
That's my big dumb idiot.
So the big thing that they're doing here is that they're like, it's senior year and it's already past summer. And I was like, wait, oh my God, what? How long have Veronica been dating? Like, what's going on? And it turns out that that's just the musical is happening at that point, and they're still in the regular timeline. I was confused for a hot second there.
So was I. I was like, what's happening? Is it suddenly summer? Wasn't it just Halloween?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then I was like, man, Blanche wanted a Christmas episode. We completely skipped it. I'm just like, we saw behind the scenes of this, like, Riverdale senior year banner, and we all thought, okay, great, because then we're skipping, so we'll be able to go to where the comet is, and we'll be able to go back. And now I'm like, okay, so I'm not sure how we're gonna make this work anymore. If this is the only time we see it, maybe they'll reuse it, I don't know, but,
I mean, yikes. It kind of makes sense if they reused it.
Yeah.
You already got the prop.
Yeah. So, I hope they do. I don't know. My next favorite line was, give me one more day of fun, not this bummer one. I like that one a lot. Not this bummer one.
The lyrics are absolutely... like, when did you figure out, like, you know, from my own curiosity, when did you figure out that this was a retelling of the beginning of the year? Because it took me until Veronica said she was a new kid.
Yeah, I would say probably that.
Yeah.
And then I thought, okay, yeah, I sort of was like, I'm not sure, because I wondered if, like, some of it partially was fictionalized and part of it wasn't. And so I think it took me until Archie said, what, we're still juniors in real life.
Oh, fair enough.
To, like, really get confirmation, I think.
Okay.
But I also, like, Midge was there, and so I was like, and she's not pregnant, which makes sense because how would Kevin wouldn't know that, and this is like, I don't know, in Kevin's brain or something.
Yeah.
But, so then I was sort of like, this doesn't make sense because Cheryl and Tony are still vixens, and Tony, first of all, said no to the vixens, and then Cheryl just renounced the vixens last episode, so yeah, it was a big old mess.
We went on a journey, but we got there.
Yeah. I also really loved the line from Jughead, 4 years feels like I've done it before. You know what, buddy? I think you did.
I think I've seen you do it.
I think you have.
This is now at least the second time, but also kind of the third.
Cole really committed.
Yeah, Cole committed more than I thought he would.
Cole committed so hard, and I appreciated that so much. They said, Cole, we need you to commit for this part, and then maybe a little bit at the end, and then that's it. That's all we need. And he's like, fine. And I appreciated that so much from him.
Like, he genuinely worked hard, and I was like, I guess you are enjoying shooting this season then, huh?
It's true. He really said, this is a musical and we're doing the musical. I'm gonna sing about pizza under my bed. It was great.
It was like a true Jughead moment.
Yeah. And we had Jughead like walking around the like student lounge or whatever with his actual friends, Ben, Dilton, and Ethel. I was like, oh, that makes more sense because that's the only people that Jughead really talks to.
Yeah. Still not really friends with Archie the same degree as the Archie comics. I don't think they're ever going to get that relationship figured out.
I know. They had, like, had a conversation this episode, and I was like, whoa, is this...
And I was like, what?
The second one ever?
Exactly.
I also knew that it wasn't real because they were playing basketball and Julian passed to Reggie. I said, that's not true. That didn't happen.
Literally, I said the same thing to Sam. I was like, oh, the whole team's behind Reggie, so this is unrealistic.
Yeah. So that's not realistic.
Yeah.
And then I guess, lastly, I just wondered if Charles has ever sung on this show. I can't remember.
I also can't remember.
He pulled it off, though. It was great.
Yeah.
It's just like, we know that Cole doesn't like to sing. And the fact that Reggie also was like, yeah, I'm out. I was like, oh, maybe Charles also doesn't like to sing.
Good for him.
You know what? Good for him for being able to get out of it.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. So right after this, we discover that the gang is actually just performing this song in the music room for Kevin and Clay. Kevin is writing an original musical that Featherhead may consider doing in the spring, and he and Clay wrote all the music for it. It's about everyone's lives at Riverdale High. Everybody has notes about this song, though, mostly about their characters. We establish that Archie is the main character and Julian's his understudy, but Kev promises that everyone will have a solo line in the last song that's about prom night. Jughead checks out at this immediately because he's a film bro, and Reggie also leaves because he's not a singer. Kevin says it's fine and dismisses everyone except for Archie and Julian. Brittany, this is just High School Musical 3.
I mean, okay, but like it literally is.
Brittany, in High School Musical 3.
Talk me through it, because I can't really remember High School Musical 3, but I know that you're right.
Thank you so much for this opportunity.
It's an honor.
In High School Musical 3, they decide that they're going to do an original musical about themselves. About senior year.
Got it.
And there's a song all about prom.
Oh, okay. So it's literally High School Musical. Got it.
It's literally High School Musical 3.
Okay.
And they play basketball and, you know, they think about their futures, etc.
And one of them is torn between being creative and playing basketball.
Correct.
Okay, got it. So it's High School Musical. Okay.
It's High School Musical 3 in particular because they're literally like, our final musical is an original musical about us, and it's called Senior Year.
Which, by the way, here and in High School Musical, I once again have to ask who the audience is for this.
Yeah. Well, that's what Featherhead says at the end. He's like, if we advertise Archie the Musical, who's gonna come?
And, like, hate to say that that guy's right about something, yeah. But, like, if I went to high school with them and they were like, it's a High School Musical all about our senior year, I'd be like, oh, that's cool. And then it's not. It's Archie the Musical about their little friend group. I would be like, what is this? Like, practice in vanity.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I'd literally be like, wait, it's about the popular kids? I'm good.
Cool. Yeah. Like, I gotta tell you, I'm outie.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And I kind of hate you all now.
Julian says he's the best singer at the school, and of course Midge and Fangs are like, no, that's Fangs. But I was like, Julian, if you are the best singer, why haven't you sung before?
Okay, T?
I would love to hear you sing. I know that you are very, very talented, sir, you are literally a theater man.
Also, I just want to say, please. I thought it was so funny that both of them were protesting that, but Midge was the one, like, Fangs was just kind of, like, gonna give him, like, a little side eye and a no, and Midge was like, actually, you f***ing suck, and
yeah. That was sweet.
I love you, queen.
Yeah. And Jughead, I love you, and I love that Jughead gets to just sort of leave. But not liking musicals is a red flag.
Huge red flag. You cannot be a film bro and not like musicals because you can have preferences for drama,
or yeah. preferences for certain genres, but you cannot discount an entire genre because you don't like it if you want to be taken seriously as a critic. This has been my soapbox as someone who used to be a critic.
One of my sister once had a boyfriend who didn't like musicals, and I said, that's not going to work out because he's not a person who enjoys joy.
And were you right?
And it didn't.
There you go.
I knew it.
What musical do you think would turn Jughead's opinion around?
Ooh. Here's the thing, is that, like, do I have to pick something from the 50s?
No.
Archie references Singing in the Rain in this episode. We've talked about Singing in the Rain a bit. And I wonder if Singing in the Rain, knowing that it's out already, because it is a musical, but it's also, like, about filmmaking.
That was my thing as well. I was just thinking that it was either going to be that or... I wish you were in my brain right now. What's the other one about making movies?
The other one about making
movies? It's like newer. It's from the 80s. It was a...
Oh, La La Land?
No.
Oh. Isn't that one about making movies, though? I haven't seen it.
When I say newer, I mean it's from the 80s.
Oh.
It's slapstick, very tongue-in-cheek.
Huh.
It's super famous, but I couldn't tell you what it is.
Who's in it?
It's a Mel Brooks musical. Mel Brooks.
Mel Brooks musical. The Producers.
The Producers. That would be the one. If it was going to be anything, I think it would be that one.
Perfect. Oh, yeah, and it became a musical, too. Good for him.
Yeah.
Kevin tells Archie and Julian that they're workshopping Archie's I Want song. He explains that an I Want song tells the audience what the hero in a story is searching for, or rather, their innermost dreams and desires. Clay plays piano while Archie and Julian sing a duet, both as Archie. The song is about Archie not knowing what he wants in life. We see a montage of Archie and Julian, both as Archie, going for a run and showering. Archie interrupts the song, though, and tells gay Kevin that he doesn't like how indecisive he's coming across. Clay and Kev ask Archie what he actually wants in real life. What's his secret passion? Archie's like, I'm not talking about this in front of Julian. They bombard him with a bunch of questions about what he wants. Betty, Veronica, poetry, basketball. But he says he doesn't know. Maybe all of them? Kevin says, no, the song can only be about one thing. He's gonna figure it out, though, and get back to Archie.
So the part of this that I really liked... Riverdale doesn't do meta very well because it takes itself so seriously.
They've been doing it lately, though.
Yeah, it's kind of... I don't know what's changed,
uh-huh.
but when they had just the really on-the-nose comment that I thought was so funny was, he can't be torn between all these things because otherwise you have a pretty weak main character. And I was like,
yeah,
after 7 years?
It was so good.
Self-awareness?
Uh-huh. I loved that.
We need to talk about something deeply important.
Okay.
It is, in fact, the inherent homoeroticism.
Absolutely.
Of this song.
Yeah.
Of Archie and Julian.
Uh-huh.
And then, I can't remember if it's this part of the song. It might not be. It might be a different song where Archie's singing about being torn between Betty and Veronica. That's not this one yet, is it?
Yeah, that's the next one that Kevin and Clay write after this.
Anyway, when they were singing at each other in the shower, I was like, are you kidding me?
I know. And, like, it's so funny because it's like, yeah, it's Archie and Julian, but it's also Archie and Archie.
Yeah.
You know? So it's very, like, would you have sex with your clone?
And I guess, no, I think Archie would fight his clone now.
Yeah, yeah, but which, like, makes sense for Archie.
I was just, like, I was watching it and I was like, is this supposed to be as queer-coded as it is? They're in the fucking showers. In steamy showers.
It was extremely gay. It was extremely gay.
And then I was like, I think this is on purpose.
Well, Archie says literally, I look at other guys. And then he says, with fire in their eyes, right? But I look at other guys, pause. Bro.
Exactly.
Come on.
Exactly. And I genuinely was under the impression, I was like, okay, this is probably just... I'm reading too much into it because I'm not trying to read into it, but everything else, I'm like, it's gay. But then later. And now I'm like, you know what? Maybe everything is supposed to be gay, and maybe me and you are geniuses.
I think we are, Brittany. I think so. We've been saying it for years. Blanche wrote in her note, count how many times I wrote Archie describing this one scene. I counted and it was 10.
Oh, poor Blanche.
I did love the sort of, like, jealous thing that Archie was going through, that he was like, wait, this guy is a better singer than me.
Which, I mean, he actually turned out to be a great singer. He wasn't boasting when he said that.
No. Mm-mm. Well, he's literally out here playing a main role on... one of Toronto's main stages right now.
Yeah, and you can see why.
Yep. Oh yeah, it's so good. It was such a bop. The harmonies, this is the best song this show has ever put out. Period.
Fair enough.
And that's saying something. It's a minute and a half long, and I demand a full version. And I think I've listened to it 25 times already.
So you've got to be the top listener on Spotify then.
I gotta be. I love it. I'm not listening to any of the other songs, just this one over and over again. It's so good.
Bro, your Spotify rap's gonna be toast.
I know. I'm really sorry in advance.
You're a fool.
I did notice how you can tell which one of them is an actual ginger when they rip off their shirts. Based on their armpit hair, you can tell which one's actually a ginger and which one's dyeing their hair.
I never even noticed that.
You can. This song is giving Michael in the Bathroom. Michael in the Bathroom is a song from Be More Chill, the musical Be More Chill. And it's very like, Michael doing this and Michael doing that and Michael. And like, they say like, Michael doing this, Michael doing that. And so like, the idea that them going, Archie this, Archie that, Archie, that's just what it reminded me of.
You're like, ah, it's meta.
Ah, I see. Archie says he's not feeling the song. I was like, Archie, I'll kill you. Stop interrupting these bops.
Yeah, that's fair.
I literally, like, at the end, Kevin's like, if you guys hadn't stopped meddling with all of my songs, maybe we would have been able to, like, put out something good and that Featherhead would have allowed us to do. And I'm like, first of all, I mean, I have thoughts on that later.
I mean, that's not correct, but
I have thoughts on that later, yeah. But if everybody had stopped meddling, we would have all had songs like this, goddammit, and I'm also complaining.
The problem is that everyone who had complaints had completely valid complaints.
Yeah.
Definitely in terms of, like, the reductiveness of things, but also those were supposed to be, like, critical complaints that were, like, meta-analysis on Riverdale yeah. as a whole, so, like, it was fascinating to watch.
Yeah, but I'm also just like, in the idea of Kevin and Clay writing a musical, I'm like, I know that we're workshopping, but like, just write the musical and then cast the people later, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I'm just like, just write it. And everyone's like, write me out of the musical. Like, they replace Jughead and Reggie. Just replace everybody, you know? Like,
yeah.
Just write whatever you want to write.
Yeah.
And then figure it out later.
But I mean, you know? That's also the inherent danger of writing something about people that you know. If you don't...
Well, that's exactly what Kevin says next scene, yeah.
Yep. You can't reduce a human being down to a 2D character like that and not mm-hmm. expect people to have notes.
It's just like Jughead writing comics about people he knows. I'm like, can you just make new characters?
Yeah.
Make new characters that are inspired by your friends, that not characters that are your friends.
I don't think that's gonna work for, like, the premise yeah. of the show, but I hear you.
Exactly. I kept being like, maybe they did write that Rocky Horror song that they sang. Maybe they just wrote it. Maybe they did. I don't know.
Not Rocky Horror. They wrote it?
They wrote it.
Fair enough.
I mean, it's not out yet. How did they find it? How did they get it? They must have wrote it.
I kind of love that implication, actually. They're like, actually, one day, Kevin will go on to write Rocky Horror.
To write Rocky Horror. And Archie's like, yeah, I'm not really vibing with it. And Julian's like, really? Well, I am. Julian's like, wow, I'll agree with anything you say, Kevin, so that I can have the main role, Kevin.
Wow, an attention seeker did not see this from him.
Julian literally has called Kevin slurs. Yeah. And he's just like, hi, Kevin. Oh, you're so right, Kevin. You're a genius, Kevin. I love you, Kevin.
Yeah, because this is what straight people, like homophobes, do. They hate us until uh-huh. they need something from us.
Mm-hmm. I know. It amazes me that Kevin is willing to be like, oh yeah, Julian's our main character now, and he's actually great.
He has to.
He's his only option.
That's the compromise that we have to make every single day.
Yeah.
But may I just say, I'm still stuck on Kevin writing Rocky Horror.
Yeah.
Here's the thing about Kevin writing Rocky Horror.
Yes, go on, of course.
Kevin
yes.
wrote Rocky Horror so that he could play Frankenfurter because he thinks he's Frankenfurter uh-huh. and not Brad.
Yeah.
Kevin is Brad, but he doesn't know it.
Poor Kev.
He thinks he's Frankenfurter. He wrote the whole thing so that he could be Frankenfurter. That is my theory on Kevin being the future author of Rocky Horror. That's a TikTok.
Yeah. There you go. Perfect. I thought it was funny that they're like, okay, well, what do you want, Archie? You want to write poems? You want to sleep with Miss Grundy? What do you want? And Julian's
no!
like, hey. Julian's like, hey, since we're suggesting, do you want to leave the basketball team? And Archie's like, I'm gonna think about that. I'm gonna think about that one.
Archie's like, I know you're trying to get in my head, but just so you know, you were successful.
You were successful. It worked. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a chill sure. that you're in my head.
oh, now I can finally make that, and I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, hell yeah.
I feel like there's gonna be more.
Oh my god, wait, yeah, you totally can't. There's gonna be way more.
I know. They, like, hold hands, and I'm like, do the girls back home touch you like I do? Like,
Robin, when we get there, I want you to know I'm going feral.
Like, do I start now, and then just insert things if it works better? Like, when do I put this out? Do I have to wait till the end of the season?
Wait until next episode, because next episode will tell you what direction they're actually going in and whether or not they're going to pull the rug out from under us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So Kevin and Clay walk through the hallway together. Kevin complains about how stressful this all is. Clay tells him he's handling it super well, and Kev says that it's mostly because of him. They sing a song to each other about how in love they both are, and we see a montage of them dancing around and kissing.
It's very cute.
It's very cute. This is when we finally got the confirmation that we weren't doing a musical where we're singing the songs because the songs are part of the musical, which sometimes happens. You know, like, they're singing songs because we're doing rehearsals for the musical. Like, this was the first song where it's like, we're singing songs that aren't necessarily us rehearsing. It's just us, how we feel in the moment.
Yeah, it's a good little mix of both, because then we get to see all of it, and we get to see what Kevin would truly write if he wasn't stuck in the closet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, hey, good thing there aren't any cameras in schools yet.
Oh, God.
Featherhead looking at the cameras, and he's like, stop holding hands!
Bro, I was so stressed out. Like, I kept saying when they were going down the stairs, I'm like, you can't do that, you're gonna get caught. You can't do that, you're gonna get caught. Like, I'm so stressed out. And then everything was fine.
Everything was fine. It's okay.
Also, again, sorry for all the squeaks. I promise I'm not farting. It is, in fact, my desk chair.
I love the disclaimer you make every single time. It makes me so happy.
I have to. If this is
I know, but it makes me laugh every time. I love it.
I'm not farting my ass off, I promise.
I promise I'm not pooping my pants.
sounds like something someone pooping their pants.
Somebody who is pooping their pants would say. I love the idea that Sam's in the room with you, just hearing one side of this conversation.
She is, but she's so focused on writing about The Purge right now, so she's got, like, horror on her screen, and then me laughing about pooping behind her. Oops.
Oopsie. All right, so Betty, Veronica, Cheryl, and Tony are at Pops. There's a Valentine's Day dance this Friday. They all passive-aggressively sing a song about how they want Archie to ask them to the dance. During this, we see clips of them all hanging out with him. They end the song with the girls all calling each other their best frenemies.
I absolutely love the line where they go, what the hell is a frenemy?
Yeah, it was so good, and Kevin goes, I invented it.
They should have been doing crap like this the whole time, where we, like, randomly hear modern slang, and we're like, where the hell did that come from? One of them goes,
made it up.
Invented it.
Yeah, made it up. It was me. Okay.
That's mine now.
He's like, what, you don't like portmanteaus? I made it up. Everyone's gonna think I'm revolutionary.
I'm gonna invent ship next.
Yep.
I'm like, don't disrespect the X-Files fans on the forums. We fought for your rights.
We can already tell, like, immediately that we are inside the musical because Betty's hair is long, so that is always our tell, at least for me.
Ooh.
I like that Smithers is dancing in the background, and whoever, like, this other guy is who is, like, giving them food and stuff. So, shout out to Smithers for getting, like, a dancing role.
Love you so much, Smithers.
I hope the dance call was good.
I also hope that.
And this whole band thing that they've got going on, I love seeing Betty with the tambourine. Like, it's very reminiscent of the Archies from the actual comics, because Betty always had the tambourine for that.
Bro, the budget for... So, like, the budget for the rest of this season was $2. And then the budget for this episode was $2 million.
If you're not watching this season, totally good on ya. But if you're gonna watch an episode, you gotta watch this one, because I cannot accurately describe how good the music was and how good the visuals were.
Yep.
I can't recommend it enough. I had the best time.
I really enjoyed the parts of this where, like, we are in Kevin's, like, musical, the musical itself.
Yeah.
And it's almost like Technicolor. Like, everything is so bright and vibrant and poppy. And I was just like, I love being able to see, period. I love being able to see the television and see the things that are happening on the television.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, because a lot of this show has been dark blue.
Yeah, there are several, like, whenever we would watch on our TV in Vancouver, like, our apartment was made of windows. It's still made of windows. I just don't live there anymore. And so when you would watch it on TV, you'd be like, who knows what's happening?
What's happening? I don't know. Let's wait for the sun to go down.
But with this, you can see. Yeah.
Well, we live in Canada. When does the sun go down? I don't know. 11?
Yeah.
Yep.
I sort of thought that, because we knew that Julian was playing Archie, and so I thought that Archie was maybe playing Julian, but then we saw But Julian's not even in the musical, which I feel like Julian should be more mad about. But when we see him like flirting with Cheryl at Thornhill, I assumed that he was playing Julian at that time because he was at Thornhill. But no, we can't have Julian be Archie be playing Julian because that'd be weird.
Yeah, that would be weird.
That'd be weird.
Yeah.
And I love the snapping. KJ is my hero. He commits so hard and I just love him so much.
Once again, like, have to give props to KJ for knowing exactly what show he's on and genuinely Correct. Having fun with it.
Yep.
He brings the kind of corny earnestness to everything that just absolutely sells it. It's ridiculous to watch.
This is why he was cast as Archie. He's like doing the Archie thing. He's being Archie. But it's amazing.
He's also grown so much as an actor because when he did it in season one, it was very simplistic, like earnest acting. And you're like, oh, yeah. Jesus Christ. But yeah. Now when you do it, it's deliberate acting choices to fit into this specific era. And I'm like, oh, I love it.
Oh, yeah. He says stuff like later Gator, completely stone-faced and walks away. He's the best.
Yep.
All right. Surprise. It's another fake scene from Kev's musical. The girls are in the music room performing it for him and Clay. But they are not happy. They say they're not frenemies. They're friends. They're also offended that this is how Kevin views women, which Blanche says is not shocking.
Yeah.
Clay offers to rewrite the song, but Veronica says she'll hire someone famous to write it from their point of view. Cheryl and Tony are mad because this song was obviously about Betty and Veronica, and Kev just added them at the last minute. Cheryl tells him that she's challenging him to write something truthful about her and Tony.
I loved this. I love that Veronica was like, so you don't understand women at all. Got it.
Yeah. I'm gonna hire another man to write about us.
I think that it's an extremely fair commentary that white gay men do not always understand women at all and don't really care to.
Mm-hmm.
But I also love that Ronnie, instead of being like, I'm going to hire a woman to write this song, went, I'm gonna have Cole Porter do it. I was like,
yeah,
okay.
If I was Kevin, I'd be like, okay, but we can't really use that because then the credits are kind of going to be weird. You know, when we write the book out, it's going to be like, it's just going to be weird.
Excuse me, if I was Kevin, I would have lost my goddamn mind hearing Veronica say, I can have Cole Porter write a song for your musical. Are you kidding me?
This is my musical.
No, I would be saying, holy crap. What an honor. It's Cole f***ing Porter.
Oh, he should be like, can he write it all?
I'm like, are you even gay?
Well, he doesn't know how to be gay yet. He doesn't know all the gay stuff yet.
No, that's true.
But also, if I was Kevin, I'd be like, well, Mr. Featherhead, I know that you don't want to put it out, but you're like, how do we advertise it? Why don't we advertise that there's a song by Cole Porter in it?
That would have been brilliant.
But okay.
You did it. You solved all the problems. You need to go tell Featherhead this.
Yeah. So Cole Porter was an American composer and songwriter. Many of his songs became standards noted for their witty, urbane lyrics, and many of his scores found success on Broadway and in film. So he wrote in particular Kiss Me Kate and Anything Goes.
Mm-hmm.
But I sort of was going down and I looked at his like sort of like later years and stuff because I was trying to figure out what he was up to in 1955.
Yeah.
Which is when this takes place. So Porter's mother died in 1952 and then his wife died of emphysema in 1954. Veronica, can we leave this man alone?
Oh my god.
Don't make him do stuff.
I guarantee the writers had no idea what Cole Porter was up to in 1955.
No, probably not. But I'm like, yeah, I bet he does have a universe inside his head. Poor guy.
Yeah. Hey, is that song a Cole Porter song, though, or are they just saying that Cole Porter wrote it?
I don't think so. I think they're just saying that Cole Porter wrote it.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. I didn't look that up, but I'm pretty sure, I've never heard it before, and it doesn't sound like he wrote it, because it's, like, it's too modern. Like, these songs are, like, they work in the 50s, but they're also very modern sounding, I feel like.
Yeah, they are very modern sounding.
Still. So, I wouldn't think so.
All right.
Clay and Kevin come to Archie with a new I Want song. This time it's about his quest for love. This song is still about how he's indecisive. He can't choose between Betty or Veronica, and he wants to date them both.
Okay.
So Blanche, of course, was like, I'll say it again. Thruple, please.
First of all, yes. Second of all, this song is the reason why I sat up and I was like, I think Ross is doing it.
It's gay.
Because this is very, like, when they have Archie looking at... He looks at Reggie.
Reggie and Jughead?
Yes.
Yeah. I know.
And I was like, hang on. And then he looks at Jughead and I'm like, oh, right. He's talking about what they represent.
Yes.
But also.
Right. Because it's like the Jughead thing's not realistic. So wait. Okay. Never mind. They're doing something else here.
There's something there. There's a little bit of queerness to that I was like, oh, this is not a game.
Yeah. It's like definitely sports versus writing, but it reads as which boy do I kiss? Like, it reads as, I'm dating Betty, I'm dating Veronica, but I wish I was dating Reggie or Jughead.
Exactly. And I was like, oh my God, like this is, we've talked about this before, but Roberto, who created the show, like his first foray into Archie was like a fan, what amounted to like a fan musical where Archie and Jughead are in love with each other and end up together. And Roberto is also a gay man. And so Robin and I have had this pet theory for years.
Yep.
That Riverdale ends the way that musical does.
Brittany, Blanche made the best point later in her notes. Mm-hmm. She said, I am absolutely convinced, and this episode is what absolutely convinced me, that Kevin, this whole time, has been Roberto's self-insert character.
Robin, are you kidding me right now? Sam said the exact same thing this episode.
What I said? Literally.
That Roberto was, that Kevin is Roberto's self-insert. You, what scene were we watching where, I don't remember what the scene was.
Let me look which scene Blanche wrote it in. Hold on.
And Sam went, oh, that's Roberto. Got it. Like,
it is Featherhead telling Kevin that they're not producing his musical.
Yeah, I think Sam got it, said it somewhere around there. They were in the music room.
He was either explaining to Archie or to Cheryl and Tony.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something about, like,
Roberto's like, this is my story.
Something.
But, like, especially on the basis of this episode, with everyone giving comments about how they're supposed to be portrayed in the Archie musical, I was like,
yeah.
Oh my God, she's totally right.
Yeah.
Which means that I think that we, as geniuses, are onto something with guessing that the whole thing's gonna be gay as hell in the end, if we're really lucky.
Well, it sure is ramping up to it, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. We'll get there.
Yeah. So Archie starts the song by doing a Singing in the Rain reference where he, like, twirls himself around the light pole. I think this is great, but I really miss Julian's harmonies. I think it was so funny that they were like, KJ, you do this part, and Julian, you're gonna do the high harmonies. Fancy Theater Man, can you do the high harmonies? And he was like, yep.
Yeah, I got this.
I miss the harmonies. They were, like, one of my favorite things about that song.
All right.
We have these Betty and Veronica, like, movie posters, and then we have, like, their campaign posters later, and Archie has these movie posters, and I'm like, if someone recreated these posters and sold them as prints, I would absolutely buy them all.
Like, if the CW had any money left, this would make great little limited run merch.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I want them so bad.
Yeah. The Betty and Veronica campaign posters in particular, when it's the B&V with the buttons, I was like, I genuinely want that as merch.
Yes, yes. I'm just like, ugh, I wish that Hot Topic hadn't left its Riverdale era, because I spent a lot of money at Hot Topic in the Riverdale section. I really did. I liked when Veronica smashed onion rings into Archie's face.
I also laughed a lot at that as well.
It seems like Veronica is very onion ring focused. I feel like whenever Veronica, like, I feel like there's been a lot of jokes about Veronica and onion rings before. Like, Veronica is very onion ring.
I feel like because it's supposed to be, like, maybe a substitute for something.
All right.
Maybe.
All right, sure.
An entendre.
We have Archie looking at Archie looking at Reggie and Jughead very longingly. And Archie, like, we see him making this, like, pro and con list about poetry and basketball, and I'm like, Archie, be careful. If poetry sees this, it's gonna be really mad.
You know what? You're right.
I've seen Friends, and I know that that doesn't go well. Not a good idea.
That's a reference from quite a while ago. I like it.
Enjoy. Well, we're in the 50s.
All right. Well, you got me there. Oh my God. Friends is going to be big for these guys.
Yeah. Oh, they're going to love it. Archie stops the song again. He's not rocking with this one either. He says when they last talked, they asked him who is Archie Anders and what does he really want? And he's really grappling with that question. He says he can't be in the musical for his own sake because it's too real and raw. He needs to figure himself out. Kevin is mad, but Clay wishes him luck. I thought it was very professional of Clay, but I also get why Kevin is frustrated. You know, he's going through something at home, and he's just trying his best. He has a deadline, you know?
I both understand Kevin, and I'm like, bro, without Archie's permission, you decided to make him the main character of a musical that you're writing, and then...
Absolutely fair.
And then every time he gives you feedback, you don't like it. My Brother in Christ, the musical is about him.
I'm like, Kevin, can you just write a musical about someone inspired by Archie, for the love of God? It does not have to be Archie. Then you can do whatever you want.
It's just gonna be High School Musical.
Correct.
Yeah.
Kevin is Kenny Ortega.
There you go.
So, Cole Porter is going to write Betty and Veronica a song for the musical. Veronica tells Betty that she's been feeling really guilty because she kissed Archie a while ago. Betty asks if she likes him. She says, sure, but she likes Betty more. She says she feels closer to her than anyone in this town, and Betty feels the same. She says maybe this is the universe telling them to forget Archie and focus on their friendship for now. And they hold hands.
Guys.
Whoa.
guys.
Whoa.
This is a big conversation to have 6 episodes before the series finale.
Yeah.
Like, I think that we always knew that, because it's Archie, right? He's never going to actually choose between Betty and Veronica.
Oh, good point. Like, that would be crazy.
Exactly. You can't actually...
Oh my god, of course!
Right? You can't actually have an endgame.
Archie's never going to actually pick.
Exactly.
Oh my god.
So what you do is, if you're writing this, and you've gotten this far, and you have... You understand the precedent of the Archie comics, but you also want it to have a queer feminist bent. What you do is you say, this boy, it should not be the person choosing, and they should not be the like vying for his attention and like simpering after him. It should never be about who Archie chooses. It should be about what Betty and Veronica want, and Betty and Veronica want each other.
Or throuple.
Possibly, but I just, I think the absolute radical idea of saying Archie is not, and like they do later when Archie removes himself from the equation, you can very much see Betty and Veronica were like, oh, that's fine. Well,
they don't give a crap. Yeah, exactly.
Like, they don't care because they've decided, me and you, that's what I want. And I'm like, oh my god.
Yeah.
All of this posting where it was like, oh, Betty and Veronica should just kiss each other and kick Archie to the curb. Oh, okay, so we get that? Oh, okay.
Oh, wait, we're doing it? Oh, okay, wow. Wow.
I didn't dare hope for that because everyone hates queer people right now.
Yeah. Man, lots of crime in Vancouver today.
Well, yeah. That's just how it be. Some of the crimes were committed by me.
Oh, okay.
But hopefully they'll resolve themselves soon.
Yeah. So Veronica says, you remember when the Red Scare came? And I was like, yeah, yesterday? Like, yeah?
Yeah, like, really recently? I do recall that, yeah.
And then she tells Betty about her kiss, and I'm like, but why did you kiss, though? Like, it didn't make any sense in the moment. And then, like, we could have had this same conversation without them kissing, you know what I mean? Like, the kissing wasn't a catalyst for this conversation either, really, you know what I mean? Like, she says, I kissed Archie, and Betty says, do you like Archie? No, I like you better, etc. But I really feel like we could have gotten there without doing that weird kiss.
I think that's...
They were already there already, you know?
I think that's possible, but I think maybe the physical connection was gonna have to be, like, the thing that made Ronnie stop and think about it, because she had also kissed Betty.
Yeah. No, she hasn't.
Or hadn't yet kissed Betty.
Yeah.
But to me, as a queer woman, you kind of have to have that last experimental, okay, let me kiss a man to see if I feel anything.
Oh, sure. Let's pretend that that's what it was. I feel like that makes sense.
I don't even think that's much of a stretch. I think that's like, you know, considering this has followed the canon of how being a queer woman worked, at least personally for me, this kind of all checks out in terms of both of them figuring out they like girls.
Yeah, I just mean that, like, Riverdale often just, like, does clunky things, you know? And that, and it wasn't made clear exactly what their point of that kiss was. But the way that you're explaining it makes complete sense. And I wish that they had made it more clear that that's the reason why she was doing it. Because if that wasn't, if they didn't say that, like, I was just like, hey, why did this even happen?
Hey, bro, you...
But your thing makes total sense.
Your thing also makes sense because you did just catch me giving the Riverdale writers too much credit, and I cannot do that. I cannot be accused of that because I've liked what you've done so far, but I did also watch the first 6 seasons of this show.
Yeah, yeah. And then Betty says we should focus on our friendship, and I went, yeah, let's do that.
Your friendship.
Sure.
Yeah, your friendship where you... kiss each other and sing love ballads at each other and
Oh, all right. So at the sheriff's station, we find out that Tom has been sleeping there and not at home. He and Kevin are eating dinner there together, and he asks how Mrs. Keller is doing. Blanche says in the comics her name is Kathy, so we'll go with that. Kev says fine, considering. He also tells him all about the musical and says he keeps imagining him, Kathy, and Tom all celebrating on the potential opening night. He asks him to come home or even just to dinner. Tom says it's a hard situation and that it's serious adult stuff between him and his mom. He tells him to stick to his musicals and songwriting. Which was weird.
Why do you think that was weird?
A little bit. Well, Tom is like, Kevin, I hate that you're gay. And now he's just like, Kevin, I love hearing about your musical. Keep working on your songs.
Could you?
I'm like, what?
Could you argue that that's Dad Keller not really knowing that that's a queer trope?
I don't know. I mean...
You know what? It's more realistic that it's an inconsistency.
Yeah, because Frank does.
I think Frank's a lot smarter than Tom.
Yeah, that's fair. Which is also very kind of you to say to Frank, who doesn't deserve it.
No, he doesn't deserve anything, but I think in terms of absolute garbage parents in this show, one is smarter than the other.
Yeah. The fact that we, like, started talking about Kevin's mom, I was like, oh my gosh, Kevin's mom, haha. The fact that we saw her later, I was floored.
Me too!
We have never seen Kevin's mom, ever.
I can't remember. What was she in the main timeline? Did we get to see her?
We never got to see her, but they talked about her. She was in the military.
Okay.
So she was, like, off doing military stuff. That's why she was never around.
Okay, you ready for a crackpot theory?
Yes, yes, yes.
That is Alice's girlfriend.
That's what Blanche said.
Shut up!
Yes.
Oh my god, me and Blanche are like this today.
Okay, let me do our segment of what did Blanche think right now, because it's relevant.
Do it.
So this is what Blanche said. So I think Alice/gay Kevin's gay mom endgame, because she said something like, sometimes men and women get married and find there are too many differences between them. And since Machen said Alice will come around because of learning from Betty, I think Betty will tell her about her and Veronica and Alice will realize she's fruity.
Everybody gay.
Everybody gay. Everybody.
Just this once, everybody's gay.
Everybody. And I think this is great.
Oh my, this is a big moment.
Why else bring in gay Kevin's gay mom?
Exactly. Why bring her in? Why have Machen say partner, which is such a gender neutral term? Yeah. I literally said to Sam when we were watching it, I was like, oh, if they're doing everybody's gay, maybe that's why Machen said partner. And we were like, huh, yeah, probably. But yeah, like, probably. Like, not like actually. And now I'm like, oh, okay. My tin hat, it's on.
Yeah, yeah. You know, he says it's like serious adult stuff. And like, I would think that he was cheating with Sierra because it's kind of what happened in the original timeline. We know by this time that Josie does come back at some point.
What?
But we know that that Josie comes back.
Bro, news to me, bro.
Probably for only one episode, I think.
Okay.
But she's been in a couple of the like behind the scenes pictures that the cast has posted, as well as Peter Brown from BB Can 1.
Yeah, how the hell?
You guys remember when I got so excited? He was in the background of one of Cole's Instagram pictures and I was like, oh, Peter Brown from BB Can 1. He's back.
Do you want to explain to everyone what BB Can is in case they have no idea what the...
Oh,
yeah.
Sure. Peter Brown was on the first season of Big Brother Canada and I loved him so much. We watched the live feeds and me and my friend Erica, we would go home for lunch in high school and we would eat lunch with Peter as he ate lunch on the live stream.
And he's, Peter was in the All-Star season that I watched with you, right? Season 5?
No, that was Kevin.
Kevin, right.
Yeah, Kevin was in season 3 and then season 5. He's probably one of my favorite Big Brother players of all time.
Okay.
But Peter was only in Big Brother 1.
Got it.
Big Brother Canada 1, and he's the best. And he's been doing some like extra work and stuff in Vancouver. And you can see him like in the background of a Once Upon a Time at some point as well, I think. So yeah, just love to see him.
I want you to know you clocking that is extremely funny.
Oh yeah, no problem.
Yeah.
So yeah, I would think that he was cheating with Sierra, but I don't think Sierra's coming back.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah. Kevin and Clay tell Cheryl and Tony that they wrote a new song, this time from the heart, about the four of them. The song is about being in love as a gay person. The four of them sing it together, and we see a montage of both couples kissing and singing to each other. My only thought was that I was like, how the heck is this supposed to be in the musical? Featherhead's gonna love this, like, you can't do this, and then, like, later when Kevin is like, this can't be in the musical, and the girls are like, why not? I was like, guys,
I mean,
please.
I mean, listen, I get it, but let's be real.
Yeah, that's not gonna be in it. It was a great song, I thought it was lovely.
I do also think them thinking like, oh, why not? I think you could have passed that song off.
As like, yeah, like put in the song, but then like have straight people sing to each other.
Yes.
Yeah, 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 yeah. And then you would know secretly in the back of your head that it was gay.
Exactly. But I do think it could have passed.
It would have been a really lovely moment of rebellion. I think they could have done that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, the girls love the song. Cheryl says it'll be super powerful when they perform it on stage, but Kevin says it won't be in the musical. This song is just for them to enjoy in private.
I like that they have a little gig club.
Tony and Cheryl ask why, already having completely forgotten about the events of last episode. Clay says maybe one day when the world catches up, they can perform it for people on stage. The girls say they'd like to be written out of the musical too, until they can act as their authentic selves, and Kevin understands.
I mean, I completely understand that.
Yeah.
Because it does suck to be given something so beautiful and then be told that people still think of it as shameful.
Yeah.
And that I understand the pain of that so much. I do also think it was a really convenient way to get them out of the musical so that the musical slowly falls apart.
Yeah, I'm like, but guys, like, how is this Kevin's fault, though? Don't punish Kevin for this, though, because he can't put it in the musical.
I mean, I think you can a bit for Kevin because I think Kevin probably could have sold it.
Yeah, I feel bad for Kevin, obviously, this episode.
So. Yeah, and I mean, I think that's interesting because, like, I have different feelings about Kevin, and I think that your perspective on him in this episode has made me respect the struggle a little bit more than when I watched it.
Yeah, and I think that's partially because of my own, like, experiences in life. Like, as a creative and as somebody who's done musicals and theater and stuff, I'm just like, man, can we just make it work, you know? Yeah. I'm just like, who says you need to play yourselves? Write them in anyway. Who gives a crap? Other people are replaced. Jughead's not in the musical and other people are playing him. Like, just make Tony and, like, if you're gonna do it, just do it then, you know? I don't know.
In the words of one of my absolute favorite characters, for Person of Interest, if you're gonna do something wrong, do it right.
Yeah, the trailer for this episode from last week, Tony said wowza, and I could not figure out what she said because it was like weirdly edited in the YouTube video that I watched where it just was the za part, and I was like, huh?
That's weird.
But then the new trailer for next week also had a weird cut in it from the YouTube video that I watched. And so now I'm like, maybe I just can't watch them on that YouTube video anymore.
I was just gonna say, maybe just YouTube sucks.
I was like, maybe we just don't do that anymore.
I found that, like, if I'm looking for videos, I'll search Twitter for the video before I'll search YouTube for it. Because, like, YouTube video quality is also dog shit, so.
Yeah. We already talked about this, but Sam texted us to tell us that the song that Archie sang was super bi-coded with him looking at Reggie and Jughead. And I'm glad we all agree.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's what I call queer as hell.
Correct. So that is halfway through the episode. Real quick, I'm going to talk to you guys about Patreon. It's a service in which you can donate to some of your favorite creators. Ours is patreon.com/theafficionados, and we'd really appreciate your help over there if you have the means to do so. It is a monthly donation of $1 or more. At the $1 level, you get early access to every single podcast. The other ones come out a whole week in advance, but this one comes out just a day, which, hey, if it's a weekly show, you take what you can get. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Oh, are you suddenly Italian?
Yeah.
All right.
The $2 The $2 one is our Discord server. $5 is 10% off at 3 different small businesses that are all in the description. And the $10 level is our Patreon only podcast. We'd really appreciate your help. If you join right now, you get like over 50 episodes of the Patreon only podcast as a backlog. So seems worth it to me.
That's just us talking crap for 50 episodes.
I am so excited that we have that now. Like, that's literally like almost 2 years of like a diary of what was going on in our lives. Isn't that crazy?
That's true. That's wild.
Isn't that weird?
And yet every time we record it, I forget absolutely every single thing that happened to me in the 2 weeks between them.
Yep. So yeah, if you don't want to help us out on Patreon, check out those small businesses. Like I said, they're all in the description. And then yeah, just or recommend us to a friend because that is free and it still really helps and I appreciate you. Thanks! And Brittany is gonna handle the summaries for the back half.
It's true, I am. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right. At Pop's, Pop asks Archie if he wants soup or salad with his grilled cheese, but he can't decide. I want fries.
I want soup.
We pan to Jughead, who says that they'll take both. Jughead gets it. Archie vents to Jughead about the musical situation. He says Kevin wrote about him having to pick between Betty and Veronica, but in real life, he really needs to choose between basketball and poetry. Jughead tells him he's having an existential crisis. He says his real dilemma is him having to make any choice that could affect the rest of his life, and that scares him. Blanche has in notes, Jughead, make the choice to call your mom. Respect. Archie agrees and starts singing about how he can't pick two. I personally can't imagine Cole Sprouse sitting there watching that.
And he just smiles too. Yeah. It's cute.
Pop comes back with his order, but Archie tells him he now only wants the grilled cheese and he wants it to go. Rude. Thankfully enough, Jughead will eat the soup and salad that he ordered.
I'm like, are you still gonna pay for it, babe? Like he doesn't even wait for a sandwich. He's just like, thanks, Jughead, and just leaves.
He's like, I'll take the sandwich.
Who's paying for that?
He takes a sandwich. I'm like, did you get the sandwich? Did you get it?
It was very, very funny that Pop was like, here's a choice between two things. And Archie's like, I can't decide between anything anymore.
If I were Pop, I'd be like, okay, listen, sir, this is literally a Wendy's.
Dude, literally, he's just like, actually, Pop, I just want the sandwich now. Which, like, I love because it's sort of like, you know, the symbolism, the metaphor there is that Archie is just the sandwich. And the soup and salad are Betty and Veronica, or basketball and poetry. And he just wants the sandwich now. He's just going to be himself and then figure it out. Like, I love that. But Pop looks at him like...
I actually kind of love that.
But Pop looks at him like, are you kidding me right now?
Like, bro, I'm just trying to run a little shop right now.
Are you serious, dude? I saw a tweet on Twitter that was like, Pop finally kills Archie.
Oh, no!
But like...
like, yeah.
It was nice to see an actual friendship moment between Archie and Jughead. Like, we never see those. I would say we have, like, less than 10 in the whole story.
I know.
I had to guess.
I was like, I like that the writers remembered every once in a while you do have to remind people that, these are friends.
Yeah.
Because you separate them all the time. Why have they all not the had time. A single storyline together?
Who knows?
Like, I know that it's not that Cole and KJ don't get along, because they seem perfectly cordial.
Yeah, I don't know.
So...
I was so happy for Cole that he just had to do that little thing in the beginning and then, like, a little something at the end. Like, he was like, I'm gonna put my whole ass into it, though, because this is all I have to do.
I also really like that, like, sort of going on, like, your joke, though, of Archie kind of deciding to pick himself.
Yeah.
I think that is, like, a little indicator of how the show's gonna end.
Mm. Aw, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. And that's something that I had complained about Archie in, like, the first couple seasons, that I was just like, this kid can't be by himself. He gets broken up with and he immediately starts dating somebody else. Like, I think it's awesome that he's like, I'm just gonna take a second and just, like, look at myself. I was just like, wow, this is exactly what I asked for!
Exactly!
This is extremely Troy. Very Troy Bolton of Archie. He's already been Troy Bolton all season, but, like, this episode is extremely Troy Bolton of him. And Jughead calls him a cube because he's a square but a little bit more three-dimensional,
which actually is an extremely apt description of Archie.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Yeah,
and Archie goes into a reprise.
He goes into a reprise, and if I were sitting there shooting that, I would have been giggling my ass off the whole time, and that's why I'm not an actor.
I loved it. And Jughead's like, I'll eat both the sandwich and or the soup and the salad. And I was like, thanks, Jug. You're the best.
Whenever we get actual hungry Jughead, I'm like, why didn't we get this for the first part of the show? So what happened?
Well, because they were like, it's edgy.
And I was like,
hamburgers aren't edgy.
I'm like, okay, then have him eat a vegan burger. Do I look like I give a shit?
Yeah.
Anyway. Archie sits down with Uncle Frank, barf emoji. He tells him that he wants to quit the basketball team. He wants to focus more on poetry. Uncle Frank is not happy and asks if that's who he is now. I feel like this is a thinly veiled thing of being like, what, are you a queer now? And I'm like, yeah, maybe Absolutely. He is. Shut up.
Maybe he is, Uncle Frank, okay?
And what about it, Uncle Frank? You know who'd be fine with that? Mary.
You know who'd be fine with that? Fred!
Exactly. He says that he needs Archie on the team. Archie says that he has Reggie and he'll be fine, and Archie is correct about that.
Uh-huh.
Uncle Frank says he doesn't approve and that Archie is going to regret it. Archie says if he doesn't follow his heart, he'd regret that even more. He's made his choice. He walks
Good
away
for you.
While Uncle Frank is left brooding. It actually says the stink bug, which is Blanche's little name for Uncle Frank, and I feel like that's fair.
Brittany, I have to tell you something. Blanche, she has a playlist on Apple Music called, that she made. Where is it? Oh, yes, she sent it to me last night. It's called Die Uncle Frank, and she has a photoshopped picture of Uncle Frank with a no sign over it, with one, like, the circle with the line through it, and it's very funny.
Oh my god. I want to know what's gonna happen here, because I feel like Frank saw this coming.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if he's going to be chill about it.
No, I don't think so. And, like, I was like, Archie, you're playing right into Julian's hands.
Yeah.
Now Reggie's going to be alone with Julian, please.
And I'm, like, kind of worried this is going to end up with...
At least Fangs will be there.
Archie being called slurs because, like, choosing poetry is seen as effeminate.
Yeah. I just really feel like we need to have Mary as a mediator for every single conversation between Archie and Frank. Because otherwise, like, I'm so glad that Archie, like, stuck to his guns this time. But, like, sometimes he doesn't.
Yeah.
You know? So, like, yeah,
he needs backup. He needs his mom.
He does. Yeah, absolutely.
Again, another contender for Alice's future girlfriend.
Yep.
I'm sorry, but all I really do need in life is to watch Molly Ringwald and Machen Amick kiss each other. I just want to put that out in the universe.
Mary is a known girl kisser.
Kevin and Clay are cuddling in bed when there's a knock on the door. I wanted to say, Kevin and Clay are cute, but they usually, I'm just like, okay, they're all right. Game in. But this was actually really cute, the way they were snuggling.
Yeah.
Clay jumps out the window and Kevin says to come in. It's gay Kevin's gay mom, but it's not Julie Bowen, unfortunately. I get it.
Yeah, Blanche really wanted it to be Julie Bowen.
You know what? I get it. I don't think the CW could afford Julie Bowen, but
correct.
I see the vision.
Yeah.
That's okay. I still love her. That is Blanche's notes, but by the way.
Yeah.
Gay Kevin's gay mom, again, Kathy, invites Kevin to dinner at Pops with her and Tom. He thinks that sounds great. Kathy says she'll drive him to school, and Kevin looks at a picture of the three of them before getting dressed. So before we saw the end scene, I was like, why is she looking around his room, like, so curiously? She's looking around it with eyes of, I know what my kid is.
Yeah, yeah.
And she accepts him.
Yeah, Oh my god, for sure. Absolutely insane to see her. Absolutely insane to see her. In the final season of the show. In the back half.
We're like, oh my god, she's real. She's real! Crazy.
And you can see how, in another time, she could be in the military.
You think?
Yeah.
All right.
Like, I mean, everybody put in 50s housewife outfit looks like that, you know?
Yeah, fair enough.
My other note was, does Clay's family wonder where he is? Do they worry about where he is at night?
That's a great question.
Yeah. Who knows?
I want you to know that when we watched this and Clay went out the window in his underwear, I was like, bro, are the neighbors? Are the neighbors not going to talk about the naked man that just left Kevin's room?
Yeah, exactly. Your neighbors know who lives there. They're not like, oh, some girl probably lives in that room. No, they know who lives there.
Right? I feel like Kevin and Clay are playing really fast and loose with things, and I am scared that that is leading to something bad.
Yeah, and, like, we trust everybody who was in that room at the very end, but, like, them kissing in front of all of those people, like, Julian was in that room.
I didn't even notice them kissing.
They did. They kissed.
Oh, worf.
And Julian was in it. Like, I'm just like, was this part of, because, like, okay, well, here, to play devil's advocate.
Oh.
Here's the thing.
The devil doesn't need an advocate, darling.
The devil is the show, though.
Yeah.
Is that Betty walks in and, like, Kevin says, I just wrote this last night. And so Archie's looking at the words, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody else who comes in what world would they know the words, right? So I'm wondering if this is, we're back in musical fantasy land for that last little bit, right?
That's my assumption.
Because otherwise, why is Julian in the group hug?
And also, how the hell did all of them know exactly when and where to harmonize without ever hearing the song before?
Yeah, so my brain says that was just fantasy musical land.
Okay.
I wonder if, like, Archie just stood there and was like, will you sing me the song? And Kevin just, like, stood off into space. And Archie was like, okay, and just left.
Archie was like, that was beautiful. Maybe you and I should get together and write poetry sometime.
Together, that'd be cute. Anyway.
And that's how Kevin teaches Archie about bisexuality.
Aww, I've been waiting.
And then he and Reggie explore that together.
Love that for them.
Thank you.
Betty and Veronica give Kevin the song that Cole Porter wrote about them. The song is about the world misinterpreting who they are and longing to be seen. We see a montage of them being besties, but it ends with them kissing. They stare at each other as they finish performing it for Kevin and Clay. The girls agreed that it was just a seismic exchange of energy. Kevin says he completely relates to their song. Yeah, because it's a gay song.
The thing is that, like, we've seen them kiss so many times in, like, fantasies, but they've still not kissed in real life yet.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they're gonna, though.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'm waiting.
I really liked this little montage because it was such a good summation of the Archie comics, which is B&V in competition with each other.
Yep.
And then subverting that by B&V deciding to, in the montage, they're running for class president. And then they decide to run together for class president.
Yeah, yeah.
And they kiss at the microphone.
Although I simply do not believe that they painted those posters themselves. They were, like, hyper-realism, like, wow.
I'm like, I want those posters? Those are beautiful. Yeah.
Something that has been sort of, like, a through line that they sort of dropped off a little bit, but, like, something that Betty always said, like, in the pilot, Archie said, like, you're too perfect or whatever, and Betty said, I hate that word. And at least in the first couple seasons, every time someone called Betty perfect or something, she always sort of, like, gave a little scowl or something like that. She hates the word perfect. And so using the word perfect in this song, in, like, it just, I liked it a lot.
Yeah, me too. Mm-hmm. It's such a great song to talk about how when you discover that you're queer, and especially if you find, like, a partner, it's like being seen for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, someone actually sees you and not, like, whoever you're trying to show them that you are. And I feel like that's why Archie is dead.
Oh, boy.
Like, here's the thing. I actually do ship Archie, and I really like them together. And I think that KJ and Lily's chemistry is bonkers.
Yeah.
But doing something this overt, this late in the show.
Yeah.
I don't think, especially after the conversation they have later, I don't think you can come back from this now. Like, if they hadn't done this and they had just talked about kissing each other, and then it could have been like a tee-hee-hee, like, we talked about kissing each other, but we actually want to kiss boys. But now we're, like, literally having Betty and Veronica have, like, explicit queer longing for each other.
Yeah. No, you're right. I mean, like, how do you go back from that?
You can't.
Even if they get, like, their memories back or whatever, Betty's gonna be like, hey, I know I'm engaged to you, but I gotta figure something out.
Here's the thing. I think I've always been in love with Veronica, but I didn't know what those feelings were because women aren't taught these things.
Archie's like, phew.
Thank God.
I'm in love with Reggie.
And Jughead's like, I actually do love Tabitha, but I am in fact Ace.
Yeah, exactly. I love the moment where Dilton like showed up and I don't know, got Betty's autograph or something. I'm like, Dilton loves Betty.
It's so cute. This little montage was really sweet.
The through line of Dilton loving Betty makes me so happy.
I want one of those B&B buttons so bad.
Yeah. I never realized, like, she's not that much taller, but I never realized how much taller Lily was than Cammy.
Yeah, me either.
When you see them like that, you realize that she's quite a bit taller than her, actually.
It really is tall and small.
Yeah.
This is why they're endgame.
Can I say something that's gonna be painful to hear?
Yeah, because I also have something painful to say. So go ahead.
So there's like it happens in the fantasies and you know that it, like they did this over a green screen because I saw a behind the scenes thing where they kiss and it sort of becomes like a galaxy in the background.
That's gotta be some of the worst green screen I've ever seen in my life.
It reminds me of the end of The 100.
It's Clexa.
Yeah.
Okay, bro. Literally was gonna say the same thing.
Uh-huh.
Because if I had a nickel.
Yeah.
If I had a fucking nickel for every time there was a fan favorite het presenting ship with a bisexual blonde who instead of ending up with the guy decides to kiss girls, I'd have two goddamn nickels.
And then they kiss in a purple galaxy universe thing.
When they're not in their own time.
Whoa, what? In like a weird alternate universe. Yeah, okay, well.
Like, bro?
That's the CW.
I have two nickels, which isn't a lot, but it's weird that it happened twice.
Yeah, once we like sort of get out of it, I really love that like Betty's got this sort of like little ponytail going on that like sort of tells us that she's making her way to the Betty that we know with the like high ponytail.
Yep.
Which I liked. And then Kevin and Clay sort of looking at them being like, hey, what just happened?
Kevin and Clay were like, something gay just happened in front of us and I don't know if they know it yet.
They're like, whoa, right in front of my salad?
Like, okay. When Veronica says something seismic, I was like, if I were Kevin.
Yeah, and then later she's like, primal. I'm like, whoa, okay.
If I were Kevin and Clay, I'd be like, immediately running to Cheryl and Tony and being like, you guys are not gonna believe this.
You have to know.
Like, obviously they're not gonna out them, but like,
yeah.
Also, this is the same space. Can we talk about how Betty and Veronica are also girl kissers now?
Uh-huh.
I'm also really happy for Lily and Cammy.
Yeah, me too.
They really wanted this.
I love that.
And we got full circle moment. Because we saw Betty and Veronica kiss right at the beginning of the show.
We sure did. Pilot.
And it turns out, if they stick the landing, that wasn't queer baiting.
Wow.
Because
that's crazy.
It was.
That's crazy to think. 7 years ago? Wow.
7 years ago when we watched that, and I was like, why are they queer baiting us? It's like, whatever year it was, because I love saying crap like that, shouldn't they know better? And I'm like, hang on.
Wow.
What if it was a long game?
Wow.
It feels like it. We'll talk more about this at their final scene, but...
Wow.
Okay. Oh, this is their final scene. Just kidding. Yep. So later on, Betty and Veronica discuss what just happened. They say they felt... This is so good. They say they felt it was primal, charged, and intense. I was like, okay, that's what sexual attraction is, girls.
Uh-huh. Well, I wouldn't know, but I agree.
No, this is what I'm saying. It's like...
Literally.
Exactly. They agree.
I know, I just felt weird agreeing.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. My little ace baby's like, can't relate, but... God bless.
I was like, exactly that. And I was like, I don't know, actually.
you understood the assignment.
I understand the assignment, but I've never experienced it myself.
I'm not looking to take the class.
No.
Betty and Veronica agree that all this time they've both been pining for Archie, but they could be focusing on each other. Before they can say anything else, Archie walks up. He tells them that he knows they both kissed him before, but right now he's on a journey of self-discovery and won't be kissing anyone for a while. He skedaddles and leaves B and B confused.
I loved this scene so much.
Okay, so it's like literally that they're both like, yeah, like we've both been kind of like into Archie, but like the connection that you and me have is so deep and meaningful. And I also have thought about kissing you. And I'm like, this is it.
I really got the feeling that they were like, yeah, it was really primal. Actually, can we go to the girls' bathroom right now?
Okay, literally, though.
Like, it felt like that. I was like, whoa, guys, what's going on here?
If they have one of them have a conversation with Cheryl or Tony,
mm-hmm.
then we'll know.
Then it's real. Yeah, then it's real. The fact that they couldn't care less about Archie, like, first of all, I'm so proud of Archie for being like, I'm on a journey of self-discovery. I was like, that's my boy! That's my baby!
But also, so brutally and emotionally honest, where he was like, hey guys, I both like you and respect you both, but I think I need to do me right now.
Oh, it was lovely.
I was like, oh, okay.
And then they were like, okay. They were like, okay. And then he says, later, gators! And he leaves!
Because, like, that
was so cute.
Was one of like the notches like sliding into place where I was like, oh, this is something. Because
yeah,
if they had reacted differently, it would have been, okay, this is a side quest. I don't think this is a side quest. I think this is the quest.
Yeah. Oh.
I'm so scared of being like feeling like a clown, but I feel like you can't do something this late in the show, this close to the end, and this not be setting up what the finale is supposed to be.
This sort of makes me feel good about the Archie Grundy thing too, that he's just like, no, I'm not kissing anybody.
Yeah.
That makes me feel good. Yeah.
He's just gonna be a teenage boy who likes writing poetry and is soft and nice and doesn't want to be molded into anything that he's not.
Yeah.
I am absolutely, absolutely fascinated by all of these developments. I could talk about this for hours. I just, yeah. It's really nice and very unexpected if they do it for a show in our political climate to be like, oh, by the way, they're all gay.
Yeah. Yeah. Yay.
I mean, if you look at the ratio of all of them, then that's like maybe two straight characters.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, I guess of the main cast, that would be Archie, Reggie, and Jughead, who presume to be heterosexual.
Yeah.
And then everyone else, no.
Yeah, because, like, I mean, unless they're giving us Ace Jughead officially.
Exactly.
Then.
Which like,
kind of feels like.
Is queer.
Which is queer, correct.
Yeah, so, we'll see. We'll see. The next episode will again tell me all I need to know. At dinner, Kevin is trying to tell his parents about the musical, but Tom interrupts, saying that they have to talk to him about something. Because why listen to your kid when you can make it about you again?
Right.
They both tell him that they're getting a divorce, and this isn't something that can be fixed. Kevin says they're obviously made up their minds, so he has to go. They call after him, but he leaves.
Before we get into, like, the heavy stuff, I thought it was so funny that Kevin said that Julian was a better Archie than Archie.
I was like, bro, that guy called you slurs.
Yeah, okay, sure. I liked how young they made Casey look in this scene. Like, he looked very small, which I thought was really impactful.
Yeah, the camera angles were very good.
And they're doing more private conversations at Pops. They're constantly doing really private conversations at Pops.
I'm like, guys, do you not have homes?
But okay.
So, first of all, Kevin's room is just redressed Archie's room, correct?
Oh, probably.
Okay. That just popped into my head.
I didn't notice that in particular, but...
That just popped into my head. I had to say something.
Okay.
I kind of forgot that divorce was a big deal in the 50s, so he was like, we're getting a divorce, and I'm like, oh, that sucks, but they'll be happier. And then I was like,
yeah.
Oh, wait.
Yeah. So our friend Dave, who you guys have heard of before, he is a lawyer in Rhode Island. So these are his thoughts on this. He says... New York didn't have no-fault divorce in 1955. They didn't get no-fault until 2010. No-fault divorce is the this-isn't-working-out-and-nobody's-in-the-wrong kind of divorce. It's by far the most common kind now. But up until some states adopted no-fault, divorce could only be granted when one party proved the other was at fault by doing something bad. That something bad could be any number of things, adultery, abandonment, cruelty, mostly things like that. Even things like insanity or imprisonment didn't become grounds for at-fault divorce until the 1900s or so.
Fun fact, that is one of the things that Republicans are currently trying to repeal to force women to stay in marriages.
Gross. I hate it. I mean, I hate everything they do.
So don't forget to vote. I know that it sounds like a hollow thing, but those small things lead to bigger things.
Yeah. Dave also mentioned that Tom could have been sleeping at the sheriff's office for a year and a day, and that would be enough for common law abandonment.
Yeah. I want to know what the reason is.
Because Kevin did say it was a new cot. Kevin said it was a new cot.
Yeah.
He had one before that he already, like, wore out or something. So, like, that would make sense to me. But, like, you know, I also thought that maybe he was cheating with Sierra. But I don't think that's going to be true.
So, but for us, this did just come out of the blue.
Right.
Okay. That's what I thought.
Like, we knew, I think, sort of that maybe they were having problems. But I don't know if we knew very well. Because this is Kevin's, you know, it's Archie the Musical, but it's Kevin's episode. This is a Kevin episode.
Yeah.
I did wonder, like, what the point was, other than, I guess, to give Kevin, like, some angst, but...
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's to set up a storyline with Kevin's mom later, but also to show a supportive queer parent, which is really lovely.
Yes, absolutely, yeah.
Which used to be Tom, and I'm really sad.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Everybody performs a song about how close the prom is. Julian plays Archie, and Clay plays Jughead. In the classroom, they all dance. All the girls still want Archie to ask them to prom. Everyone is performing in the music room, this time for Featherhead 2. He seemingly loves it and calls Kevin to his office.
I thought it was so cute that Clay makes the, like, character choice to have Jughead cheating off Betty during whatever test they're doing.
I know, I also liked that.
And it's definitely giving What Time Is It, which isn't High School Musical 3, it is High School Musical 2, but they all, like, throw their sheets up into the air, which is what happens at the beginning of What Time Is It. I was happy for the little teacher bopping along in the background.
Oh, yeah?
She looked like she was having a good time.
Yes.
And then Midge started singing, and I was like, not Midge in a musical.
Midge in a musical usually ends in death.
Please! Please, not Midge in a musical. And even she is thirsting after Archie, because Fangs doesn't exist in this musical, because he's playing Reggie.
I was like,
so
why, they didn't need to have more, like, Kevin, you didn't need to put more girls in lusting after Archie when you lost Cheryl and Tony.
Right.
But apparently...
But, okay.
He thought he did.
Yeah, exactly. And I did think it was funny that, like, Midge, Ben, and Dilton all, like, are main characters. They all, like, have, like, title cards with their names on it and everything. And Ethel just doesn't. Like, she's just not there. I wonder if Shannon just couldn't shoot that day or something.
Oh my god, I didn't even think about that.
Like, later when Ethel comes in with Jughead to, like, sing in the fantasy or whatever, I'm like, Ethel, you're not even a character in this show!
That's... Maybe she wasn't allowed to be in the show.
Could be, I don't know, it's like...
Because she's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. That's true, like, that Featherhead and Werther's would be like, no, you can't.
Yeah.
I think it's so funny that they, like, needed Reggie and Jughead so bad that they recast them.
Right?
Like, they were like, no, we can't not have... Like, there's no Julian. What do we need Reggie for? Really? You know? And, like, Jughead...
Exactly.
Jughead is only in scenes with other main characters, Ben and Dilton.
Apparently.
I guess. I don't know.
To be fair, I'm pretty sure they were writing and rewriting this on the fly.
Yeah, probably.
Which sounds exhausting.
It was very fun to see other people interacting as Archie and Jughead. Like... The idea of, it's Archie and Jughead, but it's Julian and Clay.
Yep.
They're like, hey, Arch!
I'm like,
I thought that was very funny. I also noticed a really cool, what's the word? Something small that you notice. Detail. That Clay in the fantasy version is, like, literally wearing the Jughead hat. And then when you go and you see them actually in the room where they're just performing, he's wearing, like, a similar hat, but it's different.
Oh, that's a nice little detail.
It's, like, not the Jughead hat, but it is, like, a little hat.
Yeah.
Which I thought was cool.
That is cool.
Featherhead's acting like he absolutely loved it. And, like, same. If I was in that room, I would have thought about it forever. I would be like, this is the best day of my life.
I would be, instead of, thinking that I know better, I would be like, oh my god, these students are talented. We should do everything to nurture these talents into something amazing.
But Kevin and Clay were on the gay list, so I don't know about that.
Yeah, that's sad.
Yeah.
Featherhead tells Kevin that they won't be producing his musical in the spring. He asks why not, and Featherhead says, in this climate, they should be doing something more traditional. Also, original musicals are tougher sells, but if they do something like Oklahoma, everyone will come to see it. Which is a great little meta-analysis of Riverdale's musical episodes.
Like, he's right that they are tougher sells, but, like, they're still worth doing.
100%. Just because something is an established IP doesn't mean it's good.
Yeah.
At this point in our climate, I am so sick of established IPs, I want original stories.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, exactly, right. I'm just like, can we do something else that isn't just a remake or a reboot? This is the scene that Blanche said that was the one that convinced her that Kevin is the self-insert.
Yeah, I see that. Kevin comes back to the music room and tells everyone that it's off, and he blames everybody. I'm like, just blame Featherhead. He's very clearly the villain here, but I know you're going through something. He says they all nitpicked every song that they wrote and questioned his vision. He says if they actually supported him, they may have been able to pull it off. He storms off. Everyone is shook by his outburst, but Clay explains that Kevin is really going through it because he found out his parents are getting divorced.
Yeah, so I have a couple of notes that I actually meant to say in the previous scene, but the color change between, like, the bright, bright, bright stuff and then Kevin alone in Featherhead's office with him was insane.
Yeah, that was a villain's lair if I've ever seen one.
It was great. And then also he says that we're going to make so much money with our 3 performances of Oklahoma. And I was like, damn, if you need more money, do more performances.
Right? Like, it's not like you're paying the students.
Yeah. And then, sorry. So for this scene, I'm just like, oh, Kevin, come on. Like, I know that he's having an outburst because he's having troubles, but I'm like, oh, don't yell at your friends.
Especially because I understand creatively that it was very difficult to parse out.
Yeah, I get it. It's frustrating.
You did also really insult your friends by dumbing them down into such caricatures.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Kathy tells Kevin that she's sorry he's going through so much all at once. Kevin asks her if it's his fault that she and Tom are getting divorced since all their fighting started when he and Betty broke up. Kathy says no, it has nothing to do with him or who he is. She tells him that he has nothing to feel guilty about or ashamed about, and she loves him unconditionally. Yes, it is his fault. It is his fault, and she is a good person.
For not saying so.
And for sticking by him, because clearly they're splitting up because his dad's a friggin' homophobe.
Right, when she's just like, you know, I learned something bad and crappy about him, and now I don't like him anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. Blanche just wanted to note that she really loves Kevin's mom, and I completely agree. I'm just sad because Kelly was supposed to be this, you know? Tom was supposed to be this.
Yeah.
This was Tom. And they've ruined him, which makes me really, really sad. But at the very end of this scene, they have a moment where they sort of, like, to transition to the next scene, they, like, pan over outside of the room. Mm-hmm. And I really thought they were going to pan over to see, like, him listening to this conversation and maybe, like, want to turn over a new leaf. I wanted to see that.
Oh.
And then, but then nothing.
Yeah, that's a huge bummer. I think we're just going to basically have to write Tom off as a character, which
sad
sucks because
I'm sorry, Martin Cummins.
He was a Riverdale DILF. Yeah.
I'm sorry, dude.
Yeah. Archie finds Kevin playing the piano in the music room. He thanks him because working on the musical made him take a good look at himself and make some decisions. He says he wishes he could have seen the musical and asks if what Kev was just playing was something he wrote for it. Kevin says no. He stayed up all night writing it after he and his mom had a long talk. Archie says to keep playing. It's a song about goodbyes and friendships. As he plays, everybody walks in and sings with him. We see a clip of Tom moving out and Kev saying goodbye. Kevin cries and everybody hugs him. The episode ends.
Oh, it was lovely.
It's a damn lovely scene.
Yeah, it was really sweet. And Blanche said, shut up, I'm crying. This one's going on my Vecna playlist.
Blanche, why your Vecna playlist?
No, because Vecna, like, attacks you and then a song saves you.
Oh my god, I just understood what she meant. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, yeah. I thought it was really sweet. I thought it was great. And, you know, like I said, I'm pretty sure this is, like, in Fantasyland, and I'm not sure, or else it doesn't make sense that Julian's there. But I'm like, everyone's mad at Archie writing poetry, and Kevin writes, like, a million songs. I don't know.
It's because, you know, like, to us, music is poetry, but poetry as a discipline is very different from music as a discipline.
That is fair. Yeah. That is absolutely fair. Yeah. We already knew this, but they're clearly running out of costume budget because Betty's still in that same embroidered shirt that she's been wearing all season.
But it's also realistic for her to not have a lot of shirts in the 50s.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know, they're middle class.
I liked hearing Jughead with that lower melody. I thought that was awesome. Same. I liked that moment. And if we hate the finale, this is it.
Yeah.
If we hate the finale, we're pretending this is it.
Yeah, because this was kind of a lovely way, and like you could tell the actors were all feeling those this is about to end emotions.
Yeah. Oh, and if this had been the actual finale, they wouldn't have gotten through this thing.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah.
So this was really nice. I really liked this moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
We did it.
So let's go into segments.
Yeah.
We already did What Did Blanche Think earlier in the podcast, but my next segment is which character needs a hug the most? It's going to Kevin, you guys.
Yeah.
I think it would be ridiculous for me to give it to anybody else.
I completely agree.
Yeah.
And my segment is which MILF was the most badass? Welcome to the stage, Kathy Keller.
Woohoo!
I have not had a badass MILF come into the Riverdale fold in a quick minute.
Congrats. Hell yeah, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an honor to have you here, babe.
Sam let us know that she is shipping Veronica and Shoni the most, of course.
Obviously.
As for asexual Jughead, ? Ace as hell. This man said, prom, I'm out.
Yeah.
I appreciated that about him.
I don't want anything to do with that. And I'm like, I get it, King.
I love it. As for our best line award, my best line award goes to Kevin and Cheryl for...
So fun, right? What a bop!
A bop on the head, maybe, you twit.
That was wonderful.
Oh, so good.
And mine goes to Tony for...
Wowza. You completely captured the longing of being in a queer interracial relationship in the 1950s.
Because... I don't know what producer gave the note that it was too subtle a song, so they decided to throw the clunkiest line in the world in, but God, that made me laugh. What a stupid line.
Dude, when I tell you this was Blanche's first choice for her favorite line word, and I was like, I'm so sorry, Brittany already took it.
I'm so sorry, Blanche.
But Blanche took for Veronica, Tony, and Kevin for...
We're all friends, not
frenemies.
And what does that word even mean?
I invented it.
I invented it. I invented that word.
You were like, oh, that's new.
Okay, bud, sure. We have a week-long hiatus here, and it's our final hiatus in all of Riverdale. And then we'll have 6 more episodes, and then it'll be done.
Emotional about it.
The trailer for the episode that is coming out the week after next is for the Miss Teen Riverdale pageant. The blurb is, and the winner is, it's time for the town's annual Miss Teen Riverdale pageant, and Betty, Veronica, Cheryl, and Tony each have their own reasons for entering. However, when Alice doesn't allow Ethel to enter the pageant, the girls band together to make sure she has a fighting chance.
Oh my god, I didn't know that that was this episode. I am 100% getting my sapphics talking to other sapphics conversation.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, it'll be good.
About being gay. Oh.
When I saw the blurb for this, I was just like, this is so deeply a filler episode. Like, so deeply a filler episode. When all of my friends are being killed by a comet, this is what's happening on this show.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also like, this is so fun. This is so fun. And I can't believe we haven't done a pageant yet on this show.
Well, now that we know that the purpose of this is probably to keep setting up the Veronica endgame, I'm like, Oh, this isn't a filler. This is a relationship builder.
But I want to say that there was also a pageant episode of Sweet Life of Zack and Cody where Cole was in drag. And I think that we should bring back Tyresha.
I think maybe, yes, with a different name.
Correct.
Put the boys in drag to really make a statement.
Yeah. Kevin is emceeing the pageant. Who's letting this man be so publicly gay? Come on. What are we doing here?
He's like, I'm not even bothering anymore.
He's like, whatever. So we have Betty, Cheryl, Veronica, and Tony in it. Alice says, we're going to be broadcast live on national television. We see Reggie, Archie, Jughead, Clay, Fangs, and I think I saw the top of Julian's head, all sipping milkshakes at Pops watching it. Which I thought was cute. Betty says, whoop-de-doo. Hal says, there is a lot riding on this pageant. We see Tony winking. Ethel's getting, like, poise training in her dress. Veronica says, Ethel Muggs must be allowed to participate. We see Ethel walking out on the stage to a microphone. And then we see Alice saying, this is not a charity, it's a competition.
Which is a great Miss Congeniality reference.
We see Cheryl on stage. We see Jug whistling, having watched it at Pops. Kevin seemingly maybe singing a song with the contestants.
Oh, no.
Which I've definitely seen on, like, pageant things before.
Yeah.
And Betty says, one night can decide everything. And we see Cheryl blowing a kiss. And that's the end. I'm so excited.
I'm like, I don't know what the purpose is. Isn't it, like, a scholarship for college? What is it?
Possible. Like, I wonder if, like, yeah. Yeah, there. I mean, it says that in the blurb, it said they all have their reasons for entering, right? So probably one of them is money. Another one is probably... probably Tony is, like, maybe showing that a person of color can win or something like that, because that's sort of been her thing this season. I see Veronica wanting to do it because her mom won when she was a kid or something like that, you know?
Yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah, I definitely see those different things.
All right.
So, yeah.
We'll see.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening to this episode.
Our music is Terminal by Good News Tunes.
Thank you to those who shared space with us while we recorded this podcast. Thanks to my dog, even though he growled a little bit.
Thank you to my wife and to our roommate, Emily, and to our cats. And thank you so much to Sheila Daly, aka Blanche, for writing our scene-by-scene notes. You are very appreciated, very treasured, very revered.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
If you're a fan of The 100, which we talked about this episode, sorry about that. We like to talk about that show too. Seasons 4 to 7 we did as it was airing, and then we went back and did season 3, and now we're doing season 2, but we're on hiatus. But once Riverdale ends, we will get back to that.
Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah.
Can't wait to go back to Stranger Things, to be honest.
Yep. Tell me more about that.
You can, if you're a fan of Stranger Things, would like to talk about that show too. That is also on hiatus, which is why I said it. And we have covered the first 3 seasons, and we are going to be resuming season 4.
Yes. If you're a fan of Lost, you like to talk about that show too. That is our only podcast that continues on as Riverdale is coming out, and we're on season 4. It has a spoiler section at the end. If you want to watch along for the first time, that would mean the world to me. And we have guests over there. So those are our longest, most big brain podcasts, where we have, like, big insights coming in on that one, and I'm really proud of it.
Yeah. You can follow The Afficionados on Twitter, Tumblr, Instagram, and our new TikTok.
Please. Our Patreon is patreon.com/theafficionados. If you like what we do here, please consider donating, because it's expensive with our money and expensive with our time. So we'd really appreciate your help over there. If not, check out our small businesses in the description or recommend us to a friend. It's free.
Woohoo! You can follow me on Twitter at Britannia, which is Britannia with an underscore at the end.
And you can follow me personally at Robin E. Jeffrey. That's Robyn E. Jeffrey, pretty much everywhere. Our next episode is episode 715. It's called Miss Teen Riverdale, which is, you know, just sort of the name format of pageants. So there's not much else to talk about in that one.
We got nothing.
But yeah, looking forward to it.
Sounds good.
Okay, love you. Bye.
Okay, love you. Bye.